Can you find Amos chapter 4? It's not in the New Testament now, okay? It's in the Old Testament. Give you just a brief minute to find this in Amos chapter number 4. I'm just going to read one verse, but I'm going to refer to several here in this chapter. And I don't know where you really realize, and you may not. You may be here this morning and don't even really care where we at as a nation, where we at as a community. You may not even care where you at in school. Well, I pray that the Lord will speak to your heart this morning and get you out of that attitude, and you'll realize the seriousness of where we at as a whole this morning. From an individual, from your house to the White House in Washington, D.C., our nation is in trouble. Individuals are in trouble. Schools, churches, homes is in trouble. And there's a reason for that. It's because people have shut God primarily out of their life. We have a Christian academy, but probably no doubt we have several students that just shut God out. And I've seen the effects of that here just from it sitting and observing in chapel. Some of you could care less about being here this morning, and you got your mind on everything else except what I'm saying. And I pray that God will speak to your heart and bring conviction on you this morning, and you'll experience a life-changing experience here today. But in Amos chapter number 4, I want you to look at verse number 12. And I realize and know that he's speaking primarily here to the nation of Israel, but we can take and make a personal application of what he's saying here even to each of our heart. You know why I know that? Because God is no respecter person. He would not ask and command Israel to do something that he wouldn't command us to do as our nation. And he said, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. Now, what he's speaking about here, if you go back and pick up in verse number 6 up to this point, and for the sake of time, and I'll touch on some of those things in a moment, but he's telling the nation of Israel that there's a lot of things that he's going to do to them about bringing judgment on them because they have turned their back on him. They've been rebellious. They hadn't followed his leadership. You may get by with being rebellious. You may get by turning a deaf ear to the Lord for a little bit, but you rest assured God is going to deal with that issue sooner or later. It may be today. It may be tomorrow. It may be weeks down the road, but God is going to deal with it. You may ignore what I'm saying today, and you may say, I don't have to listen to that. I'm not going to pay any attention to that. But God will bring you back somewhere down the road, and he will deal with you for ignoring his word. And this is what the nation of Israel had done. They had ignored his command. They'd just forsaken him, turned their back on him, so to speak. And here, then he's telling them in verse number 12, what's going to happen. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee. He's going to do all them things that he's mentioned. Unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, he said, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. You cannot live a life of ignoring God. You know why I know that? You know why I know? Because what he says over in Galatians chapter 6, whatsoever you sow, you'll reap. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. He didn't say when that person's going to reap that, but he said, whatsoever you sow, you'll reap. Now, I realize a lot of you don't have any idea what I'm talking about sowing, but hey, most of you, even in kindergarten or pre-K, I mean, the four-year-old, they've seen mama, daddy, or mother, or somebody plant a seed, and there's something that comes up from that seed. In other words, if you plant a seed out here, whatever kind of seed you plant, that's going to come up. After it germinates, and hey, it's going to come forth. What are you saying, Brother Michael? I'm simply saying, whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap the consequences. If you make a choice, every choice that we make, there is a consequence to that choice we make, whether it be good or whether it be bad. So you rest assured, if you choose to ignore what your teacher is telling you and teaching you, and you give her all kind of problems, or, you know, you're going to reap what you're sowing. You may get by with it for a day or two, but hey, there's going to be some consequences of that choice. And this is what he's telling the nation of Israel. And I believe this is one of the most urgent warnings in the entire Bible concerning the nation of Israel and really concerning us. And I'll make application of that in a moment, what I'm talking about. You see, this was very urgent here that he was giving Israel this warning, because judgment was about to fall on Israel. And some of the judgment had already fallen, had begun to fall. And to make a personal application of where we are today, most godly, biblical preachers realize where we are today in our nation, and judgment is falling on our nation and has been for a number of years. It's just not a coincidence that things are happening in our nation like they are now. There's a reason for that. And I believe God is implementing judgment by degrees upon our nation. And one thing after another, and he's given between, just like he did Israel, I remind you, God is no respecter person. He would send a portion of judgment, and he'd give them time to act on that judgment that he'd issue. And you look at things that, and of course I know most people just, you know, shudge it off and, you know, kind of ignore it and say, well, that's just nature taking place. Do you realize we've had one catastrophe after another for the last 6 or 7 years in our nation? Earthquakes untold, fires, tornadoes, and you name it. And yet people say, oh, that's just nature. No, it's on record. We're experiencing more and more of that by time goes by. I believe it's God's judgment. A lot of other things that God's letting fall on our nations. You know why? Because our nation has turned their back on God, just like Israel turned their back on God. You can't do that and just walk away from God after God's blessed our nation like he has, and our founding fathers blessed it on the principles of the Word of God. Now, our present administration and yearly just about every form of government is turning their back away from God. And you reap the consequences where you as an individual, where we as a church, or where we as a family in our home, hey, or whatever it may be, you just cannot turn your back on God and ignore what he's saying and the principles of the Word of God and not reap the consequences of it. It's going to come. And that's where we're at here in the nation of Israel. And I said, this is a most urgent warning throughout the Word of God. Prepare to meet thy God. And if you read in verses 6, all the way up to where we're at here, he's talking about the things that happened. And he said in verse 6, and I also have given you cleanness of teeth. He's telling what he's done for it. And in all your cities and want of bread in all of your places ye have. He said, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. He's reminding them what he's done for them and how he's blessed them and how he's provided for them. Even the where our nation's at today, we're still the most blessed nation there is, in my opinion. And Israel here, he's reminding them what he's done for them, how he's provided food for them, how he's done this. And he said in verse 7, and also I have withholden the rain from you. Droughts throughout our nation. In areas there's drought. We've experienced drought here in Georgia. We've had abundance of rain the last several months. But we've experienced drought, have we not? But in other segments of our country, they experience flooding, even now. So you see, God's going to rain on the just and the unjust. And he's telling Israel here, I've withholden rain from you when there was yet 3 months to harvest. And a farmer knows if he plants a crop, he's got to have rain. He's got to have the proper seasons if he's going to reap a harvest. God said here, I've withholden rain from me because of what they've done. And I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the other piece whereupon it rained not withered. And he said in verse 8, so two or three cities wondered. They were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. When God lets these things happen, and I thought back as I was meditating on this subject this morning, yesterday afternoon, all of you remember, I say all of you, some of you don't, some of you weren't even born then. But 9/11, the tragedy that struck our nation, terrorists come in, hijacked planes. You know, for a few months after that happened, churches were packed out. All that people was talking about is God. And hey, after a few months, back to their same old, ignoring God. And you can't do that. And then you look at the hand of God, how judgment is falling on our nation. And there's several reasons that. Number one, they turn their back on God. You cannot do what our nation is doing and not escape the judgment of God. Aborting babies by the millions. I'm talking about million killing babies in their mother's womb. I realize some of you don't know what that's talking about, but God is bringing judgment on that. Hey, you cannot endorse same-sex marriage and all what our government's doing and what people is condoning and saying everything's all right. I'm here to tell you this morning, student, teachers, it's not all right. God's Word said it's sin and it's abomination. Judgment is coming. That's why this is a most urgent warning. Not only is judgment headed our way, Jesus is soon to come. Amen? You say, well, I don't have anything to worry about this morning because I'm saved. Well, you're going to face judgment You're going to face the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to give an account to him. The Bible said we're going to give an account for every deed done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. You rest assured you're going to give account to God one day. And Israel was ignoring these things. He said in verse 9, I've smitten you with blasters and mildew when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palm worm devoured them. Come in, destroyed their crops. Why? Because they was ignoring God. He said, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. This is not somebody. God is saying, I've done all of this, but you haven't returned to me. And look at your older students. You can look back. If you watch any news, you hear anybody talking, you can see what God has allowed to happen in our nation, but yet we're still going down the wrong road. We haven't turned back to God. A lot of individuals, week after week, some of you students are just ignoring what God's saying to you. You won't accept him as your Savior. Some of you won't obey him as your Savior. You got a rebellious spirit about you. God's not pleased with that. Amen. God will judge rebellious quick as anything. And he said, here I've sent pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Know the story of Egypt? When God sent Moses in there to deliver his children. And hey, Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. He sent all kind of plagues in there. Pharaoh hardened his heart, wouldn't let him go. And he sent plagues in there. And he's reminded him here, pestilence that came after the manner of Egypt. He said, your young men have I slain with the sword and have taken away your horses and have made stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. He said, I've overthrown some of you as God overthrown Sodom and Gomorrah, and yet, as a fire brand plucked out of the burning, yet have ye not returned unto me. I'm here to tell you it's time to make preparation, friend, and return to God, because we're about to meet him. Amen? Christ is soon to come. You say, oh, preacher, Brother Michael, I've been hearing that all. Why should I make preparation? Why should I prepare to meet him? Because God commands. That's a good enough reason. God commands that we be prepared to meet him, because we are going to meet him. Every individual here under the sound of my voice, you will meet God one day. Guess what? Prepared, unprepared. You're going to meet him. I encourage you, make preparation. That word prepare means to get ready. Make ready. Your teacher say, okay, we're going to have an exam. You're going to have a test Friday. What is she telling you? Get prepared. Make preparation. The Lord's telling us to make preparation. He's telling Israel to make preparation. Throughout the Word of God, he's telling us to make preparation. As a whole, as mankind, hey, we're not really prepared. I'm talking about saved people. People that profess to know Christ are saved. They're not really prepared to meet him. Why should we prepare? There's at least three reasons. God commanded it. Without Christ, you're not prepared to meet him. If your relationship is not right with the Lord, you're not prepared to meet him. If you say, well, I'm saved, Brother Michael. I know I got a home in heaven. I'm not going to hell. I don't have anything to worry about. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10, I believe it is, that we are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He's talking to those that know him as their personal Savior. Everyone will give an account. Everyone is headed for judgment. And you will meet God. And this is an appointment that you and I will keep. Hebrews 9:27 said it's appointed unto men once to die and what? And then the judgment. And if we don't die and the Lord comes back and he catches us away, and that could happen right now. It could happen before this chapel service is over. I don't know when. But I can look around and I can see the signs. Hey, that it could happen at any moment. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, hey, we could hear the trumpet sound. If I'm saved, he'd say, come up hither. And if you're not saved, hey, unprepared to meet him, he'd leave you here. And guess what? You hear the plan of salvation. You hear the gospel. You ignore it and you reject it and don't make preparation. When the Lord Jesus comes back, you cannot get prepared then. You're doomed. Your destiny is sealed. You say, why should we prepare? God commanded it. Number two, how to prepare? How do we make preparation? Well, number one, you've got to realize where you're at. You've got to realize, number one, where you're really saved or not, where you really had a spiritual birth or not. Then, if you had a spiritual birth, you've got to realize, well, is my relationship right with the Lord? Where do I stand in my relationship with Him? Do I have unconfessed sin in my life? Am I ignoring God? Am I out of God's will? Or am I in His will? See, what I'm simply saying, and by all means, when you examine yourself and where you stand, if you realize this morning that you're lost, you've never received Christ as your Savior, hey, it's urgent, very urgent, that you heed the warning and make preparation. You've got to realize where you're at. Are you prepared? Romans 3:23 said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None is exempt from that. We are born sinners, and we have a sinful nature about us. And I realize some of you is not old enough to understand what that is, but a lot of you, most of you are. You have a sinful nature. Nobody don't have to tell you to do wrong. That's just in us. I've been saved for 44 years, but I guarantee you this flesh, it's a battle every day. I have to contend with the flesh. If I give in to the desires of the flesh, you know what I'll do? I'll walk in the wrong direction. I'll say the wrong thing. Hey, and I'll do the wrong thing. You say, Brother Michael, you're a preacher. Yeah, I'm a preacher. God's called me. I've been preaching 41 years. But you know what? I'm still in this fleshly body. I still have to contend with the desires of the flesh. It's tempting. The devil, the tempter, he'll tempt you. But hey, you've got to stay on guard and realize when he tempts you, don't yield to temptation. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it is, that he's made a way of escape, of every temptation he throws our way. What is that temptation? When the temptation comes, hey, just cry out for help. Cry out for the Lord Jesus to help you. I was in a funeral yesterday morning. Brother Stephen Peoples, Pastor Rupert Roden, knew his mother. Godly woman. But then she got a disease, it's called dementia, where your mind doesn't function right. But you know what? A lot of times she wouldn't even know who her own son was. And he'd tell her, and 5 minutes later, she'd forget who he was. But one thing she didn't forget. She did not forget where her help come from. My wife works 2 and 3 days a week at the cottage landing, assisted landing where she was living. Bless her heart, she'd roll up and down the hall, and she said, "I'm hurting. I'm hurting." Then the next statement she made, you know what she'd do? She'd roll up and down the hall. She said, "Jesus, help me. God, help me. Jesus, help me. God, help me." She didn't forget about where her help come from. Hey, our help comes from the Lord. And when you have temptation to do wrong, hey, you need to cry out for Him. Say, "Lord, help me. I'm tempted with this." And I guarantee you, He'll help you. He'll help you. Are you prepared? How to prepare? You got to examine where you're at. Are you prepared this morning or unprepared? And if you've never received Christ Jesus as your personal Savior, you're unprepared. And if you die in that state, you say, "Preacher, don't use that word hell." The Bible says if you're unprepared, you'll lift your eyes in hell when you die. I'm not trying to scare you. Listen, I'm trying to get you to realize your condition. If you're lost and undone, you examine your heart. If there's never been a time when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, invited Him to come in, then you're lost. He's not going to come in as an intruder and force His entryway into your heart. You got to invite Him in. I'm talking about how to be prepared. Realize that you're unprepared. And then cry out for God to help you and forgive you and to save you and to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You say, "Oh, Brother Michael, I've done that." Well, I want to challenge you this morning to examine your relationship with Him. Is everything all right between you and the Lord? You see sin, unconfessed sin, in our lives. I said our lives. It will cause us, it won't cause us no, it won't cause us to lose our salvation. We've got a home in heaven if we've been saved, but it will disturb our relationship. Sin will cause separation, and it will disturb our fellowship with Him, our relationship with Him. Just like, take for instance, you got a good friend, and hey, you do something that hurts your friend. Jesus is our friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And when we let sin come in our life and we don't confess it and ask God to forgive us and to cleanse us, that hurts Jesus. And it'll cause a gap to come there. You won't have the right relationship with Him. Just like a friend, your closest friend. You let something come in between you. And hey, it'll stay that way, and it'll get worse. And you'll grow further apart the longer you don't get things right in your relationship with your friend. If you've done your friend wrong, you've got to ask your friend to forgive you and tell them that you're sorry that you hurt them. That's the same relationship it is with the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. I'm talking about being prepared. The moment you realize that you've offended the Lord Jesus, Christ offends Him. Why? Because He died on Calvary's cross for the sins of the world so that we could have freedom to go to the throne room of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And keep our relationship. I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of days I have to cry out several times during the day, "Lord, help me. Have thoughts you ought not to have. Lord, hey, purge my mind. Help me to have a pure mind." That's what I'm talking about. Being prepared. When to prepare. How to prepare. Confess. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 said, "He's faithful, and if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness."
But if you have that stubborn, rebellious spirit about you, you're not willing to confess your faults and your failures and your sins and your lies, guess what? He can't forgive you. He won't forgive you. Even though he loves you with an everlasting love, it's up to us to realize where we're at and the condition we're in and do something about it. Israel, they knew where they was at. They experienced the judgment hand of God. Our nation know where we're at. You know where you're at as an individual this morning. I don't know where you're at, but I know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, God spoke to my heart yesterday morning about 11:30 about this message this morning. And I'm sharing the message that God put on my heart with you. I don't know your relationship, but I do know when God speaks to my heart and I'm sharing what God shared with me, you need to get prepared to meet him and stay prepared. How do you do that? Daily walk in fellowship with God. When to prepare? Now. Yesterday, it's gone. It's history. When to prepare? Right now, it's urgent. When should Israel, when he gave them this warning? But you know what? They ignored it. They didn't make preparation. Why is it urgent we make preparation today? Because we're not promised. The Bible said we're not promised of tomorrow. In Proverbs 27:1, he said, boast not thyself tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what this day holds for us, but I do know who holds the day. God knows what's going to take place in our life. There's a lot of days that, hey, there's been some tragic things happening in my day, in my life. Had no idea when I got up in the morning, shaved and showered and got dressed and started my daily activity. Had no idea that things was going to come my way. I don't know what's going to come my way today. Hey, I don't know. Hey, it could be my day that the Lord's going to call me out of this walk of life. And this could be the last time you'll get to hear Brother Michael preach and give you a warning from the Word of God. You say, oh, Brother Michael, you trying to scare me. You look healthy. Hey, healthy people die. Do they not? And I'm not that healthy either. I have problems every day. Some days I can't hardly walk with neuropathy in my feet. My hand. Brother Johnny saw me a while ago. I went to pick up a Bible. It's in my hand. And sometimes I go to pick up something and I can't grasp it. I nearly drop it. But you know what? As long as God gives me breath, I'm going to keep walking with him, doing my best to serve him. Why? Because of what he's done for me. And I realize, hey, I'm not going to quit on God. He didn't quit on me. And I'm going to try to serve him until he calls me out of here. That should be your heart's desire if you're saved. And if you're not saved, you need to get saved because he died for your sins on Calvary just like he died for me. Hey, I said in the very beginning of this message today, he's no respecter person. The Bible said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, that includes you, believe on him should have eternal life. And hey, he's no respecter person when it comes to judgment either. He's not going to ignore what you're doing wrong or what you're not doing that you know to do good. James 4:17, by the way, he said, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know that you're not doing what's right, guess what? You're sinning. It's that simple. You need to make preparation today. Today is a day of preparation. Tomorrow may not come.
James chapter 4, I want to read a couple of verses. He said, whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow, what is your life? James said, take a check. What is your life about? What is your life? I can't look into your heart. I don't know what your life is about. I don't know your relationship with God. But God does. And he said, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanishes away. All of you understand what fog is, don't you? It's real foggy yesterday morning. That fog's there for a little bit. But as soon as the sun comes out, that fog will dissipate. He said our life is like a vapor. Most of you seen your mother or somebody boil water and that steam come up from that water. Hey, guess what? After it gets up a little bit, what does it do? It disappears. It's a vapor. It appears, then vanishes. That's what's going to happen to our life. That's why it's so needful that we make preparation and stay prepared to meet him. We don't know what day we're going to meet him. A lot of people's already got up this morning, thought they was going to have a lot of time, and hey, they done been out into eternity. You don't have to be old to die. No. Children die. Middle age. Teens. Hey. Death. We're faced with death all the time. We don't know when we're going to die. That's why it's so urgent that we make preparation. We keep ourselves in check. And hey, stay confessed up, ready to go up if you're a child of God. You know what? When you do something that you know is not right, if you're really a child of God, the Holy Spirit immediately, most of the time, I'm speaking from self-experience, he'll touch my heart even before I do it. If I have a thought about doing this or doing that, he said, no, you don't need to go there. That's wrong. That's sin. That's the Holy Spirit. He's our guide. He's in there. You say, I don't have the Holy Spirit. I don't have nobody telling me that's wrong. God gave you a conscience. You was born with a conscience. Like I said a moment ago, hey, as a little bitty boy, believe it or not, I was a little boy one time. Mama didn't teach me to tell lies. She taught me the Word of God, but she didn't teach me to tell lies. She didn't teach me to do things wrong. That's our nature. And see, we have to overcome the nature. How do we do that, preacher? We do it by yielding our life to the Lord Jesus Christ and get born in his family, and that the Holy Spirit comes in. And when he comes in, he'll empower us. If we'll yield to the plea and power of the Holy Spirit of God, he'll help us to walk right. He'll help us to stay prepared. I want to ask you, as they come to the piano, is Emily here or whoever? Emily, you going to play this morning? Come on, honey. I want you to examine your heart. You say, well, he was speaking to Israel. No, God put this message on my heart to speak to you. God has spoken to you this morning. It's time for you to check up. If it were your time to meet God this morning, would you be ready to meet him? Are you prepared or unprepared? I don't know. As we stand together, as Emily begins to play, I want you to check your heart. If you're not prepared, I want you to come down here and get things right with God. If you're unsaved, you come. Hey, I'll be happy to pray with you, show you from the Word of God how you can get prepared. If you say, preacher, I'm saved, but I really got some things in my life that's not right, shouldn't be there, hey, come and lay it on the altar. Confess it to him.
Ask God to help you clean up your life and get things right. If God's speaking to your heart and you ignore it, God will judge you for that one day. You need to obey the Spirit of God. He's here. It's up to you what you're going to do. If God's speaking to your heart, you need to obey Him. Hey, you guys back there, quit your talking, pay attention. God's going to give you judgment for that. Ignoring the warning. This is a very solemn warning. You need to hear it. Heed the warning of God. I'm not mad at nobody. I'm concerned about you and where your relationship is with God. Where do you stand in your relationship with God? Are you ready to meet Him if it were your time? I don't know. You know, this might be your last time to have the privilege to be in the house of God. I don't know. None of us know that. We don't know what's out there in the future. Are you ready to meet the Lord? In the condition you're in this morning, are you ready to meet Him? If He calls you out, that old game I played when I was a boy, and I guess some of you still play it, hide and go seek. They'd count down. God's counting down. And one day He's going to say, ready or not, here I come. Are you ready to meet Him? My conscience is clear. I've obeyed the Lord, give you what He gave me this morning. What you do with it, you'll have to give an account to Him one day. God has a recording angel. He's recording everything in our life. He's keeping a book on us. What we do, don't do, right down the line. Be brought into judgment one day. Need to come, you come right now. She gets through this verse, we'll be through. That'll be good. Thank you, Emily.